for life presents us possibilities each and every day. I heard a calling that was right for me. I prayed for strength for what's ahead of me. Show me. Stood before me was my enemy.
Don't tread on me.
He's come to take away my liberties. I'd rather die than be a slave to thee.
Don't treat me this way.
I'd rather die than be your slave. I will survive. And you feel my rage. It's not a question. They lay dead by me. We hit them hard, we made them pay that day. We hung the traitors from the highest tree. Sacrifice for God and country.
Still
held the ground that was in front of me. This was the price to pay for liberty.
Still you hear me say,
I'd rather die than be your slave.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, patriots and jackbooted thugs alike. It is once again the Hour of Power, the most growingly listened to show on Blog Talks on Thursday nights. It is the TNT radio show, Thursday Night Truth, with your host, yours truly, Dale the Truth. As always, the show call-in number across the country is 858-683-1326, 858-683-1326. 1326. And if you look at the freedom calendar here, it tells me that the date is Thursday, August the 15th. And we did not go over our this date in history last week, and I was told that that was a feature that people missed. So on this date, 42 years ago today, President Richard Nixon shut down the foreign gold window, and thus your hyperinflation began. Yes, gentlemen, ladies, the hyperinflation began after he shut that foreign gold window. And we're really, really getting close to 21 years ago next week, your government began their military siege of Mr. Randy Weaver in Ruby Ridge. So that's our This Week in History update. Again, getting on to our first issue of tonight. We opened up tonight here with the intro music, Rather Die Than Be Your Slave by Poker Face. And it's funny that people who want to tell you the truth about what's going on out there and the people who try to silence them. And we are learning more and more about the sad demise of Reddit co-founder Aaron Swartz and how the Secret Service was monitoring him before his quote-unquote suicide. Secret Service monitoring the co-founder of Reddit before his quote-unquote suicide. I put the quotes there. And here's the story. The U.S. Secret Service on Monday released the first 104 pages of agency documents related to its investigation of Aaron Swartz, the internet activist who allegedly committed suicide earlier this year while under federal prosecution. And the heavily redacted, of course, documents were obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request filed by Wired Magazine. Wired Magazine does some good things at times. And these documents focus mostly on the specific charges against Swartz and his arraignment, as well as computer equipment seized during the execution of a search warrant. My God, they actually got a warrant on his Cambridge, Massachusetts apartment in 2011. And then we're told that the activist hanged himself in January while facing 13 felony charges of document theft. Swartz was home at the time the search was executed, one document reads. While the search was conducted, Swartz made statements to the effect of, "What took you so long? Why didn't you do this earlier?" So we're finding out more about the Secret Service monitoring the late, great Mr. Aaron Swartz, co-founder of Reddit, before he allegedly committed suicide. And these documents confirm that the investigators were interested in a 2008 manifesto that he had penned. And the bottom line is, you look at these documents and they confirm that the agency had interest in Swartz's, quote, guerrilla open access manifesto, unquote, which he advocated for open access rights to documents on the internet, and he called the free sharing of information a moral imperative. And the memorandum included in the document dumb details a May 2011 interview in which investigators asked an unidentified friend about the authorship of this document. So Swartz was arrested in July of 2011, and he was accused of what? You guessed it, stealing 4 million documents from the MIT and an archive of scientific journals and academic papers. He faced up to $4 million in fines and more than 50 years in a prison, in a cage, if convicted. And critics of the prosecutors in the case accused the feds of unfairly trying to make an example, of course they were, out of a 26-year-old internet activist. Swartz's family called his death, quote, the product of a criminal justice system rife with intimidation and prosecutorial overreach, unquote. Sounds like his family had it down pretty good. Last month, U.S. District Judge Colleen Collar-Cotelli ordered the Secret Service to share the intelligence, good for her, that it had collected during its investigation of Swartz. Wired Magazine's Kevin Paulson, who filed the Freedom of Information request, writes that the agency estimated it had 14,000 500 documents related to the late Aaron Swartz. 14,500 documents. Secret Service, keeping track of an internet activist. Some people tell me they murdered him. I'm getting messages tonight saying that they murdered the guy. And again, these government agencies are basically the bankers' agencies to oppress the population. It's incredibly difficult to discuss this case. The judge was just a bloated cover act. She was a sellout. Sometimes they don't even try to fake it. They just merely put a bullet through the head, a frontal lobotomy and mobster talk. But of course, this was a little harder to cover up. Remember, we just talked last night on the Ed Springsteen show about what they did to a journalist who was getting too close to the feds. Whoops, his car exploded going 35 miles per hour, allegedly. And in this case, it's a little harder to cover up. They don't really want to give the image of government agents as a bunch of rogue criminals. Like, we didn't know that they were a bunch of rogue criminals. But again, it's another one to add to the list. See, on their monopoly board, these globalists, they don't have a go-to-jail box for the spies of Wall Street. They work for the Russell Trust. I mean, you got to add this to another guy who was taken down, allegedly. I mean, hell, there's even reason to believe that the government crooks in charge were afraid that Swartz would become a major rallying force for left-wingers should he have been brought to trial and proved defiant. That's that fake left-right paradigm thing again talking. But if his case could highlight the outrages against our Constitution, maybe they had to make this decision to off him, to suicide him, rather than let him become another Bradley Manning. I don't know. Just a theory. Going to go straight to the phone lines tonight, right here in Louisville, Kentucky. Caller, you on the air. Who is this?
Good evening, Dale the Truth. How you doing, man? This is Paul.
Paul from Stop It, Stop Invisible Taxes. I am doing great, Paul. We're talking about how the allegedly suicide of Mr. Swartz here. What do you say?
Well, this particular story, I can't say that I've been tracking, but you got me to thinking about something that I really never have gotten a crystal clear answer about. I was wondering if maybe you had some insight, okay?
Okay.
Or somebody in your listening audience.
Okay.
Now, on the surface, don't discount the premise here right away. I want you to think about it. Okay. You have expressed concern about the way the system treats each one of us as individuals for quite a while. Okay. My question is, what exactly, where does the system drive its jurisdiction over each and every one of us? Where's the who? What was what grants the authority? And I say that because we are when we're born, we have a birth certificate, and of course we're infants, and we don't have any say over what happens to us or who does it. So the question is, what happens at birth that gives them jurisdiction over ourselves?
Well, I'll tell you where they get it from. They get it straight out of fear. And that's the same thing I was talking about last week, Paul, when I talked about, once again, the income taxes. How many people do you know pay them because they feel obligated or because they want to or because it's the law? They don't pay it because it's the law because there is no law. They pay it because they're afraid not to. And that's the same thing here. It's out of fear
that they are
able to dictate.
Yeah. So, but I thought the whole point of our entire way of life was that the government has to have a clearly established authority granted to them over us, okay? And I'm just wondering where that authority is derived, since we do not consent at birth. We don't consent to that at all.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree that they would say basically that you're a terrorist, Paul, and how dare you question your government? They got to be there to protect you. They're the Homeland Security, after all. And again, you have protesters like Aaron Swartz who allegedly committed suicide, and usually these people are seen as more pacifistic, and they believe in the pen being mightier than the sword. But But again, what if this guy had been armed? What if he had to go down the route that we talked about Randy Weaver coming up on the anniversary? What if this guy had been armed and then they could have suicided him? They would have had like a government standoff, and I guess he would have had a shot a family member like they shot Mr. Weaver's wife. What do you think about that?
Well, you're kind of touching on something that I've been thinking about also regarding this Egyptian thing. John Kerry was making noise yesterday about how deplorable it was that the military over in Egypt was shooting and killing all the demonstrators out there. But I don't see that, given the right circumstances, that our military wouldn't behave any differently. And Dale, I'm going to have to give your point about the globalists being in charge as the basis for that opinion. If the globalists felt that an uprising here in the United States was likely to happen, they would also pull out all the stops in an effort to quell the uprising here in the United States, using the same methods they're using in Egypt. And what bothers me the most about the situation is that the sheeple don't believe that that would or even could happen here on this land. And I know that when elitists, when the elite globalists feel that their power is threatened, there is no tool they won't use.
No, I agree. And I look at these authority figures, Paul, and the only thing I can compare it to is if we go way, way back in history, there was a movie back in the day called The Omen. You know, there was Damien in The Omen, and it reminds me of that because the demon force in The Omen wanted total control. If you stepped out of line, or if you were smarter than average and you were onto their agenda, you were suicided. So that's a timely movie, I think.
Well, we were I forget what country it was, but about a country here that is still doing, making people are disappearing from their society when the government has decided that they're a threat to the government.
Okay,
they're disappearing.
Paul, we got somebody in the chat room who says that that it can't happen until the U.S. military is transformed into what the progressives want it to be. What do you say to that?
I have mixed feelings about that for this reason alone. A lot of people who enter the United States military understand chain of command, and they vow to follow chain of command. If the chain of command orders them to massacre Americans on American soil, there's going to be a bunch of them that are going to do that. They're going
to
do that.
Well, that's where the group, the Oath Keepers, got started, because the Oath Keepers are a group of people who basically call themselves Guardians of the Republic. They're a nonpartisan association, as you know, of current and former serving military, reserves, National Guard, and these guys say that, hey, we honor our oath that we're not going to do anything against their own people. So we got to hope that there's more of them than there are those jackboots.
Well, that's actually a stellar idea, that Oath Keepers Project. That's a stellar idea because if they're true to their oath, they will not massacre their fellow citizens simply because somebody in power in government says, let's go do it.
Well, the Oath Keepers, I give a lot of credit because one of the most recent things I read about them, and I see we got another caller that we'll bring on the line here, but one of the most recent things that I loved about the Oath Keepers was these guys actually went to the White House, went up there to Pennsylvania Avenue. This is just happening this week, and they placed a large sign featuring Obama as Big Brother out there. I'm sorry, they did it on the Metro, wishful thinking. I wish they did it at the White House. But they put a sign on the U.S. Or the Washington, D.C. Metro that was closest to the White House praising Edward Snowden for exposing NSA spying on Americans and urging White House employees to follow Snowden's example by becoming whistleblowers. So I think that's a great idea. We got another one of our listeners on the line, and I think we're going to go to Matt. Are you on the air, Matt?
I'm here. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. How are you feeling tonight? What can we help you with the Jackbooted Thugs?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm enjoying the conversation tonight. I just want to add a couple things.
Sure.
And you guys are dead on with the one world government and what they're trying to transform all this happy progressive horse crap into. And I'll tell you what, one of the main objectives of this administration, of the progressive plan for the last 100 years, is what to do with the U.S. military. The U.S. military is a big problem for these people because of the oaths that they take. And if you notice, over the last, I'll say, probably 5 or 6 years, you've started to notice a little bit of a change in the language when they start talking about the U.S. military. For instance, the U.S. Navy now is called, their commercials and stuff, is a global force for good.
Oh, yeah.
Things of that nature. What the progressives understand, especially this administration and the people that back him up, the people who pull his strings, and I understand that the president is a figurehead, but he also has the freedom to be able to sign some of these bills that are being passed into law. But what they understand is the U.S. military has an oath that they take, and before their oath to the president is their oath to the United States Constitution and the people. And
definitely,
this is something that's a great problem for the progressives and the liberals that are in power. They need to supersede that.
Well, there's a huge problem. And the thing about these whistleblowers, quote unquote, and it leads us into Snowden. And I'm going to get into Snowden's recently released interview. But again, I'm glad to see Oath Keepers kind of going out there and doing something, because we see these, quote unquote, left-wing anti-war hippies, they totally disappeared once their dear leader Obama got elected. And I've been trying to get people away from the left-right paradigm for a long time. So, caller, if you'll keep listening to us on the airwaves here, all the shows that we do on this network, Sunday through Thursday night, we're always standing up against the globalists. But the latest thing here with Snowden, just to read the folks what's going on here, is in a newly released interview with journalist Peter Moss, whistleblower Edwin Snowden slams the establishment media as having dispensed with its functions of acting as the fourth estate. And that goes right along with the anti-war hippies. They just totally disappeared when Obama got elected. They became his lapdog. And basically, Snowden did this interview, which was basically conducted as an encrypted question-and-answer session online. And it was mediated by Laura Poitras, a documentary filmmaker, who first interviewed Snowden along with Glenn Greenwald. And basically, they asked Snowden why he approached Greenwald and Poitras with his revelations about the NSA spying programs instead of attempting to bring them to the attention of outlets like the New York Times or the Washington Post. And what Snowden said was, quote, after 9/11, listen to this now, many of the most important news outlets in America abdicated their role as a check of power, the journalistic responsibility to challenge the excesses of government for fear of being seen as unpatriotic and punished in the market during a period of heightened nationalism. And Snowden was dead on, because once again, how dare you speak ill of your government? Folks, I remember very well what was going on right after 9/11. I remember I was very involved in the establishment Republican Party here at the time, and I basically walked away from the Jefferson County Republican Party, of which I was a member of their executive committee at the time. I just walked away because basically after 9/11, they were willing to just fellatio the president over whatever he said. And this is why Ed Snowden is dead on. And what Snowden continues to say here is, from a business perspective, this was their obvious strategy. But what benefited the institutions, ended up costing the public dearly. The major outlets are still only beginning to recover from this cold period. And Snowden, you know, he's dead on. He also shot out a warning to investigative journalists who do not encrypt their communications. He said, I was surprised to realize that there were people in news organizations who didn't recognize any unencrypted message sent over the internet is being delivered to every intelligence service in the world. And this is the truth. He was onto this. He said that in the wake of this year's disclosures, it should be clear that unencrypted journalist source communication is unforgivably reckless. And I think everybody here in our audience here would definitely agree with Mr. Snowden about this comment. I just talked last week. Why is it going on the airwaves last week? About my favorite email provider, Lavabit. In case you all missed it, Lavabit is allegedly the email provider of choice of Mr. Snowden. It was the email provider I used for its encryption and its privacy. And basically, the owner of LavaBit took his 10 years of a labor of love of his business and just shut his business down rather than cooperate with the government officials. And again, that's the whole thing. He was not willing to go along with the government officials. And this goes right along with what Snowden is saying. Snowden says, I think we all knew there was no going back once they turned the camera on. The ultimate outcome would be decided by the world. And he's talking about his apprehension about being filmed by Poitras and how the two interviewers thought that the whistleblower was, quote, younger than they expected. I guess they thought it was going to be some old, chiseled old man. But again, they did this interview with Snowden, and there's a reason he's over where he is. There's a reason that you have a president who doesn't want to see this guy for who he is. There's a reason you have idiots out there who say that, oh, he's a traitor and he's bad for his country. Well, you know, he's bringing out stuff that nobody else was going to bring out. You know, they asked him, was he surprised that that they didn't respond to his request and instructions for encrypted communication? And he said that, I know journalists are busy and had assumed being taken seriously would be a challenge, especially given the paucity of detail I can initially offer. At the same time, this is 2013, he says, and a journalist, he says, who regularly reported on the concentration excess of state power. I was surprised to realize that there were people in news organizations who didn't recognize any encrypted, unencrypted message over the internet being sent to these intelligence agencies. We read that earlier. And again, this is a guy willing to stand up and give up all of what freedoms he has left, because as soon as they were behind closed doors, everyone's reassured by this obsessive attention to precaution and bona fides. And the guy is over in Russia. The guy was stuck in the airport forever, and now I guess he's going to stay over there. And he said he didn't want to live here in the United States if this is the way he would have to live, if this is the way his government was going to behave. You're listening to the TNT radio show, Thursday Night Truth, with Dale the Truth here on the My View Matters radio network, and we'll be back after this.
Strike like a snake coiled up. yourself are unconstitutional. Understand right now what you guys are doing here today will play effect throughout history. We are tired of these private Federal Reserve bankers who are running this country and destroying this country from the inside. The tyranny that they committed against you and your family as well. You want to stand here as Americans because we know our founding fathers died for this very right.
So you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and bam, something hits your windshield and leaves a ding or even worse. Has this happened to you? Don't worry, folks. Help is here. Huntsman Auto Glass is family-owned and operated right here in Louisville. Huntsman Auto Glass only uses original equipment manufacturer replacement glass, and in most cases, any repair or replacement is paid for by your auto insurance. That's right. No deductible, no cost to you. Call Huntsman Auto Glass at 502-214-8566 or go to huntsmanautoglass.com for more info. Huntsman Auto Glass, where they will fix your smash in a flash. Tell them Ed sent you.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, and we had to pay a couple bills there, and of course our bumper music there was Sons of Liberty with Don't Tread on Me, and we were talking about some guys like Snowden and Scharf who are willing to stand up against your government treading on them, and how many Americans out there are just going to give up on the government and even on their citizenship? This is the story that I want to lead into. Have things gotten so bad that it is time for many to leave the United States for good? Well, that's the question here, and that's the question a lot of Americans are dealing with these days. An increasing number of them are choosing to leave the country of their birth permanently. Some are doing it for tax reasons. Some are doing it because they believe the future is brighter elsewhere. And some are doing it because they are distressed about the direction that the country is heading, and they don't see any hope for a turnaround anytime soon. And I know this story I'm reading here by Michael Snyder of Economic Collapse. He says that he has several friends and contacts that have decided the United States has gone too far to recover. And that's the next topic that we wanted to hit. And again, that's a question you have to ask. That's a question you have to ask because a lot of people, a record number of people, that's not something you hear about in the mainstream press. A record number of people are giving up on their citizenship. In fact, even going as far as to renounce it when they leave. This represents a small percentage of those that are leaving the country. But as Bloomberg recently reported, the number of Americans that have renounced their citizenship in the last 3 months was 6 times larger than the number that had renounced their citizenship in the previous year's quarter. So that's the story to think about. The Americans are renouncing their citizenship sixfold from a year ago in this quarter as the government prepares to introduce tougher asset disclosure rules. Expatriates who give up their nationality at U.S. embassies climbed to 1,131 in the 3 months through June from 189 in the year before. And that was according to the Federal Register figures that were just put out this week. And I know we still got our caller Matt on the air, and Matt, you still with us there?
Yeah, I'm still here, man.
I mean, what do you think about the fact that compared to a year ago, the number of U.S. citizens who have given up their citizenship has jumped from 189 to over 1,000?
Well, honestly, it doesn't surprise me, and it surprises me at the same time, which is kind of hard to figure right. out because, you know, this is it's a hard country to leave. For a couple different purposes. Number one, it's hard to find another country that's going to allow what this country used to, at least, present. Number two, when you leave this country as a citizen, when you renounce your citizenship, the government tends to take quite a bit of what your earnings, your worth is before you leave. So really, it's kind of a you know, rock and a hard place where you're like, I've had it with America. I've had it with this, not America, but I've had it with this current government. I've had it with the way the government's been run for the last 70, 80 years, and I'm just starting to figure it out. But there's no place else to go, and anything that you've earned is going to be stripped away from you.
Well,
so it's a catch-22.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Matt. And the way I see it, you know, a lot of the things that people see as American now, it's been watered down to just, you know, theme songs and colors and waving flags and the parades. The concept of the motherland is deeply rooted in many of the people's emotional cores, and not to mention if you have a lot of your friends and neighbors who just unquestionably fall in line like good sheep. It's a powerful social reinforcement that strengthens that bond. So, again, we come to view our nationalities, ironically, as a big piece of our individuality. Are you an American or a Canadian or an Austrian rather than a human being? And it takes decades, centuries even, to reach this point. So you're right. They had to try to find another country out there. They think that they are going to be able to be permitted or allowed to do what they did before. And Americans traditionally have been some of the most patriotic people on the face of the planet. So why now are we seeing such an increase in the number of people choosing to leave the U.S. permanently? And I think a lot of it goes back to the current government. We know the truth is there's a host of reasons. I think it's the economy. I mean, it's the taxation. I think it's the quality of jobs declining. And basically, social decay is escalating. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I'm thinking about the same thing, and you're right about people looking at the U.S. as, and they're very patriotic about it. And why shouldn't they have been? This was a country that was founded on some fantastic ideals, on something that hasn't been seen since the beginning of man. So that's kind of a hard thing to get away from. And we've come so far in 200 years. We've gotten away from some of the most ridiculous, barbaric ideals that mankind has ever come up with. We've done that in 200 years. But with this progressive influence, this is where we're at now. So it's rough. It's a catch-22.
No, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And again, one of the things I read in this story here, this was originally put out by Michael Snyder in Economic Collapse. This was put out this week. We'll go over to economiccollapseblog.com. And he talks about what can you expect, the questions you should ask yourself before you might think about moving to another country, as crazy as that sounds. I know there's neocons out there who couldn't imagine that we'd ever leave our country, even though dear leader Obama's in. And we know there's left-wingers, quote-unquote, who think that this is the best the country's been in a long time because they're so jaded and skewed and perverted in their belief system. But what the questions are, they say you have to ask, is number one, do you speak the language in this other country you're going to go to? If not, how will you function? Number two, how will you make a living? That's kind of an important one. Number three, will you be okay without your family and friends? I hate that so many people are dependent on their family and friends for everything, but that's a big killer for a lot of people out there. Have you factored in weather patterns and geological instability? And that's a good point, because patterns in weather and disasters are going to become a bigger factor in deciding where you live. Look at India. They got the worst drought they've had in 50 years. And many of those people who are encouraging others to, quote-unquote, escape from America will point to Chile as an ideal place. They have thousands of earthquakes in Chile each year. An entire nation lies along the Ring of Fire that is increasingly becoming unstable. So that's something to keep in mind. Here's a good one. Number four, what will you do for medical care? Remember, you won't have dear leader Obama with your socialized health care. So what will you do for medical care? Then we get over here to the next one. Are you moving into a high crime area? Because crime is definitely on the rise in the U.S., but in other areas where many are moving to, crime is even worse. Mexico and certain areas of Central America are examples of that. In many foreign nations, the police are far more corrupt. And we know Mr. Springton and I have talked on the airwaves here that the police are getting more corrupt here, but they're still even more corrupt than they generally are in the United States and other countries. And you got to remember, a lot of these countries will have stricter gun laws than the United States, so your ability to defend your family may be greatly restricted. That's something to keep in mind. Are you prepared for culture shock? If you go to another country, it can be like going to another planet. You know, after all, they don't speak your language. There's a chance that many of the amenities to which you're accustomed here in the U.S. will not be available in a foreign nation. And to me, the most important one here in this list is, what freedoms and liberties will you lose by moving? What freedoms and liberties will you lose by moving? I think these are all very important, and they do not tell you in the mainstream press. I don't care if it's ABC, CBS, NBC, PMS, NBC, Fox News, Clear Channel, Salem Radio. They don't tell you that a record number of people are leaving the United States and leaving their nationality behind. They don't talk about that in the mainstream press. Yes, I still think it's probably far and away one of the best places in the world to live. I'm not going to say the best, because I've seen cases that can be made for places in Europe like Iceland and Norway. And again, everywhere else could be socialist, or there could be another totalitarian nightmare. So if people are getting out early, it doesn't mean they're quitting anything. They just don't want to have to deal with the crap here anymore. It's kind of like when our friends moved up to the Free State Project in New Hampshire. They want to go to a state that's freer than us. And they want to go to a state that's freer than the one like where we live here. And we do the show here in Louisville, Kentucky, is where we're headquartered out of. And, you know, if you go to New Hampshire, you don't deal with that sales tax. You don't deal with that state income tax. So I think it's viable that if people want to get away from the country, you got to look at these options. Because if you have these expatriates organizing into an alliance like they have up in the Liberty Alliance up in New Hampshire Free State Project, it's going to help. You think about the fact that what our caller was just saying, we had a sovereign nation founded on some wonderfully unique, freedom-oriented things. And the sovereignty has not been robbed by our strict allegiance to the Constitution. It's been robbed by the jackboots who want to take away that Constitution. You know, they want to fragment it. They want to make it black versus white, old versus young, man versus woman, Muslim versus Christian, Republican versus Democrat. They always want to give you two sides. They're very two-dimensional. And they want to give you two sides that you got to choose from. And again, this is why I try to get people away from the left-right paradigm. I keep trying to tell folks, it's not about Democrat versus Republican, left versus right. It's about you versus your government. And these taxes are a big reason that a lot of people leave. I mean, you know, they think you're a bunch of Kool-Aid drinkers. If you listen to liberty-oriented folks out on the internet, I'm old enough to remember back when it was all on shortwave radio. And the biggest problem with the United States is we have this government that at least is an accomplice to, if not outright staging attacks. And we have these drones that they'll kill our own citizens and journalists. I don't know if Canada's doing that. I'm pretty certain, 100% almost, that Iceland and Norway and those countries aren't droning people out of existence. People are leaving because they're doing it out of disgust of all the sheeple and how the so-called patriots don't do anything. We try to do something here, and it's just like here on this radio network, the Mind View Matters radio network. We do shows here 5 nights a week. You can listen here on Sunday nights. Our good friend Ken Molman, he is the state chairman of the Libertarian Party. He hosts Liberty Unbridled, the same network, same time frame on Sunday nights. Then the guy who heads up the network, Ed Springsteen. He and Ed Martin, who is a former congressional candidate, they do a show on Mondays and Tuesdays, and I come in here on Wednesday nights with Ed Springsteen. And then I'm here doing the Thursday Night Truth Show, TNT Radio, on Thursday nights. And we see the numbers. We see that people are listening because you're sick of the crap that goes on with the tax systems. We try to get you encouraged to go out and vote for the right people, and I'm not one of those folks who's so naive to think that voting solves all the problems. But there are some taxes out there that they add to you, and they keep hiking up these taxes, and they keep making the taxpayers take it in the ass, and then they'll come back and say, well, it's for the children. So that's what we're going to close back with here. When we come back, we're going to talk about how the taxpayers are taking in the ass, and they're always telling you it's for the children.
So you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and bam, something hits your windshield and leaves a ding, or even worse. Has this happened to you? Don't worry, folks. Help is here. Huntsman Auto Glass is family-owned and operated right here in Louisville. Huntsman Auto Glass only uses original equipment manufacturer replacement glass, and in most cases, any repair or replacement is paid for by your auto insurance. That's right. No deductible, no cost to you. Call Huntsman Auto Glass at 502-214-8566 or go to huntsmanautoglass.com for more info. Huntsman Auto Glass, where they will fix your smash in a flash. Tell them Ed sent you.
All right, and we're back. And again, we want to close out with a story I was teasing here locally, since we do come here from the Louisville, Kentucky metro area. And that's about the ridiculous things that go on the school board. Yes, once again, they have hiked up our property taxes for 6 years in a row. They bend you over and they tell you it's for the children. And we don't buy that crap. It's garbage. It's complete. I'm sorry. It's bullshit. That's what it is. And they approved a tax hike once again here in Jefferson County, Louisville Metro, for the sixth year in a row. Yes, Monday night, the Jefferson County School Board, elected by the sheep, or not elected by the sheep who stay home and sit on their ass, the school board voted 4-3 to increase the property tax rate yet again in Louisville Metro. Oh, but don't worry, they didn't increase it by as much as they had originally proposed. You see, dozens of concerned residents had turned out at the board meeting, and most, if not all, had urged the board to vote down yet another tax increase. And they were all excited about the rejecting of the increase, but then they right away passed a smaller one where property owners will pay an extra $10 on top of their original taxes, more than a 1% hike of the tax from the current rate. And as I said, it bears repeating, this is a sixth straight tax increase in 6 years. And the residents who spoke in the meeting were weighing in on a proposed 3% tax, but not the surprise smaller tax. And this is the kind of crap we're talking about. So you got to be involved. We tell folks that the most important offices out there are not the White House, but the State House and the school board. And you wonder why people want to leave a country or leave a state or leave a city when they see this garbage going on. And this is what we're talking about, that they keep raising the taxes. I'm sorry, I am liberty-oriented, and I believe that taxation does equal legalized theft. And that's what it is. They're stealing your money. They're bending you over, and they're telling you it's for the children. This is what they do all the time. They bend you over and tell you it's for the children. We do want to talk about a couple of announcements that I want to get in tonight about important events going on this upcoming weekend. First of all, is the Nothing Fancy Farm Picnic, and that's not the Fancy Farm Picnic. That was back in early August. This is the one my friend Michael Maggard does down in Richmond, Kentucky, called Nothing Fancy Farm. And basically, it's where we the people, as Michael says, eat, speak, and discuss issues. They invite people to bring out a dish for a potluck. This is going to be out at 1845 Boonesboro Road in Richmond, Kentucky. And guests there are going to include our good friend, citizen activist David Adams, our good friend, former candidate John Kemper, the guy we really love, U.S. Congressman Thomas Massie, is going to be there. U.S. Senate candidate Matt Bevin is going to be there. Louisville Tea Party President Wendy Caswell. And the aforementioned Libertarian Party of Kentucky chairman and our fellow radio host, Ken Moman. So we always want to be able to know about that. The Take Back Kentucky monthly meeting is also coming up this Saturday at the Family Buffet in E-Town. And items on their agenda are going to include the Matt Bevin campaign, the pre-filed bills and interim meetings in state government, and also some legislative trainings. So we want to get those issues out there. We want everybody to listen to all the shows on this network. Like I said, Sunday night through Thursday night, We do shows on this network, and we want everybody to listen to those shows because we're not coming from a Republican point of view or a Democrat point of view, but we're coming from a liberty point of view. And this is that repeated effort that I've put out there about trying to get people away from this left-right paradigm. And I didn't talk about this Mitch McConnell race last week when we returned to the airwaves, and I'm not going to let the time get away before I do it tonight. And that is, we have a guy who wants you to think, because he's a minority leader in the U.S. Senate, that you should just give him his coronation. The guy's been in office for 30 years. 30 years, U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell. And a lot of us think 30 years is long enough. And I have, on good authority, people telling me that if you go to party events, from the state party to the county party, they won't tell you anything about his opponent, Matt Bevin. And we're not endorsing Matt Bevin at this point. And again, that might be something we might do later on. We do, in fact, endorse candidates when we feel it's necessary. But we at least, people want to give an opportunity for a choice. You see, too many times these political parties are nothing but hack country club activities, and they don't want you to have a choice. And I keep telling you, folks, there's only two reasons that I stay in the party. Number one, because I can vote in the primaries. And number two, because the establishment hacks, like the Shelley Mays and all those folks who run the county and state parties, they haven't found a way to kick my ass out of the party. So that's the only two reasons I stay in it. Because I can vote in the primaries, and they haven't found a way to kick my ass out. So we want you at least to look at choices. They don't want you to have choices. They want you to vote for who they tell you to vote. They're Team Mitch. Well, it ain't some movie for preteen kids, folks. It's a real world, and there's a real world problems out there. And again, we have a U.S. senator who's been in since 1984. Sound familiar? Well, we know that the answer to 1984 is 1776, and we just think you should at least go over to mattbevin.com and see what the guy has to say, because if you compare him, I'm sorry, but I know of two people who are running for U.S. Senate in the Republican primary. So I'm going to focus on those two people. I'm not going to have the blinders on and only look at the one in office. I'm not going to come up with ideological candidates who aren't there. Let's just look at the two guys who are running in the Republican primary. McConnell has voted repeatedly to increase the debt limit. Over 16 years, he has voted to increase the debt limit 9 times to a grand total of $6.7 trillion. Matt Bevin says he will not support an increase in the debt limit. Look at spending. Mitch loves to talk his mouth about taxes, but he voted to increase taxes on 80% of Kentuckians in the recent fiscal cliff deal. And again, look at the size of government. We always will rail on this show about the size of government. Mitch continuously votes for larger federal government, including No Child Left Behind, Medicare Part D, and the 2007 energy bill that raised taxes and imposed new mandates on automakers. And Matt Bevin tells us that he wants to fight for smaller government, limited policies, and oppose the continued expansion of government programs. McConnell voted to bail out the big Wall Street banks. Remember Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? Helping them on our backs. And Bevin says he opposes these special interest bailouts. So what does it tell you? What does it tell you when your county and state party, which they consider themselves to be the party of Mitch, because, you know, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Ask him, he'll tell you. What does it tell you about the party when they don't want you to have a choice in the primary? They want you to think that your only choice is in November between Tweedledee and Tweedledum, and you better get behind the U.S. minority leader because we've got to keep that power. What does it tell you when the guy is far more concerned with consolidating power than he is in representing you and limited government? What does it tell you when they want you only to back the guy who doesn't show himself to be for liberty, but keeps going along with all these government increases, with all these government outreaches to grow larger and larger and take away all sovereignty? And this is why we want people to wake up to what's going on. We're very happy to have more young blood, if you will, from the Liberty point of view. We're very happy to have more voices out there. Because the bottom line is this. You want future elected officials to vote for government expansion. You want future government officials to stand up against us. You want to send them back to D.C. after the recess. You want them to keep expanding government. You want the crime statistics to keep going up. You want them to keep supporting the Patriot Act and NDAA and CISPA and NSA. You want to keep killing liberties? Or do you want to have somebody who's going to stand up for liberties? They got some splaining to do, folks. We know where we stand on the issue. We know how taking taxpayer-backed Federal Reserve notes for virtually free and then lending them 9 times the amount of Federal Reserve notes at 300,000% interest in the name of helping the economy, that's garbage. They're not the enemy, but if we the people did not allow the 12-member Fed banks to charge us interest on our own false fiat currency, then our national debt would only be about half the current $17 trillion. If we the people would stand up like Iceland did and say that the bankers need to go to jail and that the only term that your congressman is going to get after his current term is a term in a cell, put them in the cage and take the free people out of the cages. You got to stand up to them, folks. In the end, it's up to you to stand up to the government and tell them death to the New World Order. Have a good night, folks.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
This is Bob.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
can't handle the truth.